Two major business scandals are all over the news this week. German automaker Volkswagen finds itself in hot water after it was discovered that the company was illegally installing software to evade standards for reducing smog. Also, the former owner of a peanut company in Georgia was sentenced to 28 years in prison for his role in a salmonella outbreak that killed 9 people and sickened hundreds.
Both cases raise ethical questions over why companies misbehave and how business is done these days, as well as what all of this means for consumers who might be wondering just who they can trust.
Praveen Parbodia joins us now. He's a professor of international management at UW-Whitewater, and he's the co-author of the book Business Ethics. Praveen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
So let's start with Volkswagen. They have had a rough week so far on the stock market, in the international press. Can you start by summing up what's happened lately?
What we are seeing right now is repercussions at an international level. You know, we see that now other countries are seeing that they've tricked the software in those situations as well. And so I think if we try to understand what's happening with them, the implications are very far-ranging. We hear of lawsuits in England. We hear of other investigations in Europe and so on. So I don't know where really it stops. Because, for example, the parallel with the Toyota case, at least it was confined to the U.S., but this is taking an amazingly global dimension.
Looking at this one, this isn't one of those ethical gray areas. I think most people agree. Someone in the company knowingly did something to avoid the law, avoid the standards. What motivates companies to bypass the rules like this, veer off into illegal, in this case, and what a lot of people consider unethical territory?
You know, this is just a big surprise for me, actually. I've taught business ethics for the last 15 years, and every year I tell my students, you know, this is the last scandal. Hopefully we won't hear of anything more. But, you know, what we see, I think, in this case is just a desire to sell more cars. And if they had the software on the cars, that, you know, they would not have been performing as fast and, you know, just in that desire to sell more cars. And again, I think it's just profits before anything else. And the most surprising thing is, you know, Volkswagen has a very strong reputation for its engineering, for its products. But so this is very surprising.
This is a widespread thing. You'd think there might be a fear of being caught. Even if ethics didn't deter you from doing this, the risk would. So what does that tell you about the business climate at Volkswagen, maybe in general?
You know, I would say that companies, I think, are much more aware of the ethical implications of what they are doing. I mean, of course, there's cost and benefits of any decision, and there are thoughts about, you know, is it something that's for us to go through, even though it's unethical, and should we do it and bear the consequences? So I don't know if we would, you know, I would be comfortable saying that the business climate now is very negative, is going towards the darker side. I would say that companies are very aware, and I'm hopeful that this is an isolated case, because I think the Department of Justice too is taking lots of steps to, now we see that there's the Yates memo that came out that places responsibility not just on companies, but also with people within companies who are acting unethically. So I don't know if it's really kind of implies businesses in general.
And in this case, the CEO this week, Martin Winterkorn, resigned from Volkswagen. He said he hadn't been aware of wrongdoing on his or the company's part. So if he's right, if he didn't know, is his resignation the right move?
Yes, I think in many ways what we would like to see from any company involved in these situations is honesty and transparency. And I think to some degree Volkswagen is engaged in that. And also, you know, they say it all starts with the top. And for him to resign, I think, sends the message that the company is trying to make changes. Because, again, the parallel is with the Toyota case. And at the beginning, they denied that they were responsible. And I think the consequences for them were much more negative in the long term. So I think him by resigning shows that they understand the magnitude of the problem and that somebody else, and I hear that the Porsche CEO will be in charge, so hopefully he will come in and make changes so that, you know, these issues are corrected, because they are going to face a very long battle, and having somebody else in place, I think, sends the right message to the market.
I want to give a listen to VW's North America director, Michael Horn, speaking earlier this week at a company event.
Our company was dishonest with the EPA and the California Air Resources Board and with all of you. And in my German words, we have totally screwed up.
So there's that admission you were talking about. We screwed up, he says. So what's the next step? You admit this, you admit it publicly, but how does an organization rebuild its ethical standards and rebuild the trust with the public?
I think the big question for them now is the consumer trust. Ultimately, a company is there because people are buying their products. Again, the good thing about Volkswagen is they have a strong reputation, and I think people respect them for their products. But I think in the long term, they will probably start engaging in PR moves. Probably we saw that with Toyota to maybe have advertising about, you know, how they messed up and that their products are still good and strong. And you know, hopefully in the long term, this will come back, because the textbook example of how companies should deal with, you know, such crisis is the Tylenol case. And what they did was they had a very good public relations kind of campaign, and they first of all took responsibility, although it wasn't their direct responsibility. And the second thing they did was they worked on restoring consumer trust. So that will be something. But I think Volkswagen also has a lot of, you know, dealing with governments and the legal aspect of it. I read that they hired the same team that defended British Petroleum in the Gulf of Mexico disaster. And I think, you know, that's going to be big in terms of what they need to do. But I think restoring consumer trust by, again, arguing for the quality of their products and showing what changes are being implemented to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future will be what they would need to do.
Talking to Praveen Parbodia with UW Whitewater, expert on business ethics, about the news from Volkswagen and their apparent effort to cheat emission standards. And also in the news this week, Praveen, is the now defunct Peanut Corporation of America, a CEO joining relatives and fellow managers in prison now after the company shipped salmonella-tainted peanut butter, some damning email, including a note from the executive here saying, just ship it for some product that hadn't been completely tested, was known to be at risk. What do you make of that case? What do we learn about right and wrong in the business world there?
You know, I think the message that is being sent to the corporate world is that now we will hold people responsible for such actions. Because if you look at the federal sentencing guidelines and its enforcement, we saw so many cases where people who were behind the actions were able to hide behind some kind of corporate cloak. And now we see that is changing. And I think that's the message that, and that should be sending a very clear message now to companies that whoever is being responsible for what is happening could be in jail. And I think that's a significant departure, because if you look at, for the longest time, for white collar crime, you didn't really see people going to jail for their behaviors. And again, I want to again mention that Yates memo that came out, and they are saying not only will they go after the people who are responsible, but also companies have to show cooperation in terms of investigations by revealing who was behind misconduct. So I think, you know, just like with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, I think more and more now the enforcement has to do with, instead of saying that a company is responsible, who is behind, who are the people behind the actions, and let's punish them.
This is, as I understand it, unprecedented in a food poisoning case. Felony convictions, more than two decades, prison sentences. Do you expect to see more of that in the future? Do you think this will be a new enforcement mechanism?
I think that will definitely happen. And part of it, too, is, for example, like the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which was passed to prohibit bribery. That wasn't really being enforced for a while until the last administration. And we saw, you know, many cases being prosecuted and in many cases some settlement is reached. But nevertheless, these companies are, you know, they are getting sued for the kind of infractions of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And I think the administration, the Department of Justice, is probably seeing current kind of ethical transgressions in the same line that, you know, we need to punish these people for wrongdoing. We can't just let companies do what they want and not hold them responsible for what's happening.
We're talking with business professor Praveen Parbodia about corporate ethics in light of recent scandals like Volkswagen's Dieselgate, trying to pin down why companies misbehave and how to create more ethical organizations.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think causes companies to veer into unethical waters like these? What can we do to change that? And are you part of an organization or business that prioritizes ethics? If so, how does that play out in your work? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Praveen Parbodia stays with us now. He's a business professor at UW-Whitewater. We're looking at why companies like Volkswagen misbehave and how to create more ethical organizations.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. As a consumer, what's your reaction to these scandals that have been in the news this week at Volkswagen and the now-defunct Peanut Corporation of America? Do you think ethics can and should be prioritized in today's business world? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers. Jim is on the line with us in Rice Lake. Jim, hi, you're on the air.
Afternoon. I teach business law at a Native American community college, and this is an issue we discussed. And I think examples like the most recent ones, plus the classic of Enron, and probably the worst of all, the 2008 securities debacle that led to the, you know, our near mini-depression, is because of a lack of accountability. The worst event economically since the Great Depression is the 2008 securities frauds. Because the SEC was asleep. Only when businesses fear legal or public accountability will they behave. They are like human beings. They do that to which they can get away with. I'll take my answer off the air.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Praveen, that's a pessimistic view. I think it sounds like you're hopeful that ethical behavior can be motivated by more than just fear of punishment.
Yes, I think there are companies that do the right thing because they believe in it. And when you think about trying to, you know, run your operations, there are companies that do things based on values for, let's say, you know, respect of the environment and so on. And I don't think all companies are, you know, thinking we should just make money and let's try to take advantage of as many different aspects as possible. So there are some good examples out there. I don't think, you know, companies are all just negative and doing bad things.
But obviously, I mean, evidence shows that some are breaking the law, breaking the rules of ethics. Do we need to have a strong system in place to catch them?
You know, that's the big question. And when I first started teaching ethics, which was, I don't know, 15 years ago, and you heard of like WorldCom crisis and so on, and then other, you know, big scandals. And like I was saying earlier, every time I would tell my students, hopefully this is the last big bad example we hear, but we keep saying it. And what system can we put in place to make sure that those things don't happen? And I think in many ways there have been new laws, new regulations, new systems in place. But you see companies always trying to find some way around these rules. So I think just thinking of the punishment aspect, of the control aspect, doesn't work. I think we also need to reward companies for doing the right things. And like I was saying earlier, I think there are companies out there who, you know, which where they think about, you know, what kinds of benefits can I bring to society and how can I do it in a kind of an ethical manner. And they are doing that. I think these few examples, unfortunately, show businesses in a bad light. But there are some, you know, some companies that do good things.
Back to our callers now with Tom and Shatek. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you? The question I have, first of all, the peanut butter guy is being held to a high standard, spending several years in jail. But the executives of General Motors, many, many more people died because of their actions. Why aren't they being held to the same standard?
Tom, thanks a lot for that. I want to give our guest time to respond. Praveen, I've seen other people pointing this out. There were deaths in the GM case. There were apparently cover-ups at the company. We didn't see two-decade-plus felony convictions.
You know, I was chatting with one of my colleagues, and also he does some, you know, he's a lawyer by training as well. And I think it's also a question of settlement and how easy it is for the government to go after these companies, because I think in the case of the peanut butter company, it was the accountability that we were talking about was much more straightforward. And it is possible that the Department of Justice decided that in the GM case, that settling for some fines would be, I mean, at the end, settlements are kind of the easiest option for everyone involved. And I think in that case, that probably is what worked best.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. We were talking about business ethics with Praveen Parbodia with UW-Whitewater. He's written books on business ethics, among other things. One thing that's changed in the world of business ethics, though, Praveen, is we have social media now. There are lots of ways where consumers can talk to each other, highlight grievances, employees too, for that matter. Does that make transparency more realistic? Does that give people ways to hold corporations' feet to the fire that we didn't used to have?
Yes, definitely. In fact, in one of the chapters in the business ethics book, I have deals with social media, because there's such a big percentage of the consumers that probably don't, you know, listen to NPR, for example, or read newspapers, and they are getting their sources of information from those outlets. And you better have a strategy in place to make sure that you are, you know, saying the right things and you're responding correctly. Otherwise, the hard work that you're doing building reputation could just be gone. Because there was the case of, I think, Nestle, and there was some posting of how they were trying to, in Indonesia, how they were cutting the forest to plant palm trees for chocolate and so on. And one of their social media persons actually made fun of whoever was posting on their Facebook page, and they got in big trouble for that. So, yeah, you better know, have good social media strategies, because if you don't, the types of, you know, like they say, it does spread like wildfire. If there's misinformation or if you're not being transparent, you will be in trouble.
Praveen, I imagine that there are a lot of CEOs out there watching these stories thinking, okay, I don't want to be next. I want to maybe change things if we need changes or make sure we're all on the same page. How can somebody in that position set the culture, set up a landscape at their corporation where it's clear the kind of ethical behavior that they want and that everybody else is going to take that up and run with it and not try to cut corners, not try to make a profit at the risk of breaking the law, breaking the bounds of ethics?
You know, like they say, it all starts at the top. I think setting the example, and it all starts with small decisions. You know, for example, if somebody is going to a conference and takes somebody else out who's not really a client, as a CEO, are you involved in such types of actions as well? I think setting the tone, but also there are so many things. You know, you can obviously train people about what is the right thing to do and making sure that they are aware of laws and regulations. You can have code of ethics and so on. But we know that companies that have these things don't always end up doing the right things. You know, I'm sure Volkswagen has a nice set of code of ethics somewhere on the wall somewhere. I think how people live these things and how are you supporting these things? Because I remember reading about G, for example, and they were willing to fire very good people in I believe it was in Egypt, because these employees had behaved unethically. Then you're sending the message that, yes, we do care about what's going on inside the company, and we are, you know, we will live by these rules. Because I think if you fire somebody who has incredible in-depth local knowledge that you really need, and you say that they are paying for their consequences of their actions, then you will do well. But I also think that, you know, we need to reward people who are doing the right things. And the reason why I also say that things are not as bleak is I'm also a judge for the Torch Award of the Better Business Bureau. And you see amazing examples of Wisconsin companies and all the good things they do and all the contributions they make to their community and how they treat the employees well and so on. So I think, you know, it's not as bleak.
Praveen, you say you tell your students each time there's a scandal, you hope it will be the last one. You're hoping that again this time with Volkswagen?
I hope so, but I'm sure we'll be chatting again, because like I was saying earlier, probably somebody is trying to figure out some loophole as we speak.
Praveen, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
That was UW-Whitewater business professor Praveen Parbodia. He joined us to talk about corporate ethics in light of recent scandals at Volkswagen and the now defunct Peanut Corporation of America.